The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to the Lord.
Some people told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with the blood of their sacrifices. Jesus said to them in reply, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were greater sinners than all other Galileans? By no means. But I tell you, if you do not repent, you will all perish as they did." Or those 18 people who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them. Do you think they were more guilty than everyone else who lived in Jerusalem? By no means. But I tell you, if you do not repent, you will all perish as they did. And he told them this parable. There was a person who had a fig tree planted in his orchard, and when he came in search of the fruit, he found none. He said to the gardener, "For 3 years now, I have come in search of fruit on this fig tree, but have found none. So cut it down. Why should it exhaust the soil?" He said to him in reply, "Sir, leave it for this year also, and I shall cultivate the ground around it and fertilize it. It may bear fruit in the future. If not, you can cut it down." The Gospel of the Lord. There once was a wealthy, eccentric man who needed to travel overseas on business. But it was hard for him to leave his precious cat. And he worried about the cat all day. So he put his best butler in charge of his cat and said to him, "I want you to make sure my cat has everything she needs." So he set out on his trip, and a few days later he called back and talked to Jeeves, his butler. "By the way, Jeeves, how is my cat? How's my precious cat?" And he said, "I'm sorry, sir, to tell you that your cat died." He was saddened and shocked, and when he recovered enough to respond after his sadness, he said, "You know, Jeeves, I wish you could have told me more gently than that." He said, "Sir, I don't know what you're talking about." He said, "Well, maybe on the first day when I called back, you could have said something like, 'The cat was up on the roof and we can't get her down.' And then when I called the next day, you might say, and I asked, 'How's my cat?' And say, 'Sir, we're kind of worried because we can't get her to eat her food.' And the next day when I called, you could say, 'Well, sir, she's starting to get weak and we're not sure she's going to make it.' And then the last day when I called, you could say, 'She died peacefully in her sleep.'" "Oh, I see," said Jeeves. And then the man said, "By the way, Jeeves, how's my mother?" "Oh, sir, she's up on the roof and we can't get her down." That's life. There's good news and bad news. The bad news always will come somehow. We know that. But it comes to us in all kinds of different ways. In today's gospel, Jesus tells us some bad news. He says it comes to the just and unjust alike. He talks about a tower that fell on some people, and he reminds us that sometimes towers fall on people unexpectedly. I think of, sadly, of the recent tornado in Iowa that devastated many homes and killed 7 people. That didn't happen to those people because they were bad people. It happened. And then there are those tragedies where evil is inflicted, like in our gospel today where Pilate mixes the blood of the Galileans in their sacrifices. Pilate, evil people do evil things. And we see now in the news daily, without stop, 3 million refugees or more fleeing the country of the Ukraine. A tiny country slowly being destroyed by an evil and uncaring foreign leader. Yes, in this world, unfortunately, sometimes bad things do happen to good people. They happen to Jesus as well. And when they do occur, we can become negative and begin to lose hope, to lose focus on what's really important, which is exactly what Satan wants of us. He offers us his gift of discouragement, wanting us to lose hope. The gospel message for us today expresses the need for you and for me to not be so focused on the world that we lose hope. God desires that we make the most of focusing on this season of Lent and the eternal salvation of our own souls. Jesus says the time to repent is now. We all know that sin is very active in the world, always has been. And it gets personal when Jesus says to us today that we need to pay more attention to our own sins and less attention to other people's sins. We need to let go. We're given the gift of this extra time here in Lent, this extra time to repent, to turn away from sin, to believe in the gospel, and change our lives accordingly. And true repentance requires letting go. There are lots of letting goes in life. Sometimes they're just small things. You know, an annoyance, you look in the mirror and you're not quite happy with what you see, your face is aged. Or things just change. A neighbor recently lamented how Norman has become too overgrown too fast, and that he could remember back when Berry Road was a dirt road. He wishes for a time when his town was small and less complicated. He needs to let go and realize change is inevitable. Those are the kind of letting goes that everybody has, and they're not so much a problem. But then there are bigger letting goes. Your mother's in a nursing home, and because of her dementia, she no longer recognizes you. Someone may say to us, my spouse of many years tells me, I'm finished, I've had it, I want a divorce. Or you get the report back from the doctor, and it was worse than they thought. They're not sure you or your loved one will even make it through the next few months. Those are the times that life does something to us. There is, for all of us, a need at that time of letting go. But then Jesus says to us, there are other letting goes which are more important. The letting goes if you want to be my follower. The letting goes that you choose. These are the letting goes, the freely chosen letting goes of love. That if you want to be my disciple, if you want to be my follower, you've got to be willing to do some dying, some letting go. Like forgiving your neighbor and loving your enemy, and like keeping my commandments. The call of Lent has always been one of repentance, and that call always requires a letting go. Maybe you've got a particular pattern of sin, and maybe you've got to let go of many other things which aren't bad in and of themselves, but you know they're not good for you. God is telling you that you've got to choose to turn away from that because it's what love asks. It's what love requires. The Lord gives us this season of Lent, this season of grace. And like the cultivation of the fertilizer around the fig tree, the grace that he provides enables us to give forth the fruit, which makes us able to truly love him and our neighbor. It enables us to give what love requires. I think of the mom or dad who stays up at night with a sick child, all because it's what love requires. Or the woman who gives up an executive high-paying job in order to stay home as a mom to her children. Or the man who patiently dresses and bathes and feeds his father, helpless father, day after day. Those are the freely chosen letting goes that anyone who is a follower of Jesus has to be ready to do, whichever way it gets called forth in our lives. Yes, some of the letting goes come from what life throws at us. Sometimes they are the letting goes that asks of us as we experience cherished relationships and memories pass out of our lives. But then there's the other letting go, the freely chosen letting goes of love. And it's usually hard, but it comes with God's blessing and promise. Why repent? Why go out of our way for others or someone else? Why bear this fruit? Because God is love, and it's what love requires. So I leave you with this question, a question that only you can answer. At this time in your life, think about it, think about it. At this time in your life, what does love require of you?